Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is cluster setup and basic usage of cluster queues and topics in WebSphere MQ7. Today's presenter is Angel Rivera. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. He has experience with the JMS client at WebSphere MQ and WebSphere Application Server. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel. You may begin.
Thank you, David. Hello, MQ fans. I hope that you are having a great day. Thank you very much for taking the time from your busy schedule to attend this conference call or to listen to the recording of the presentation, Cluster Setup and Basic Usage of Cluster Queues and Topics in WebSphere MQ7. The main motivation for preparing this presentation is to provide practical steps for configuring an MQ cluster, adding full repositories, partial repositories, and configuring queues and topics. Let's begin. Next slide, please. Slide number 2, the agenda. I will start to clarify the scope and audience for this presentation. It is for beginners, and it is a very practical in nature. Then I will mention the previous WSTEs on intermediate advanced clustering things. After the overview, I will discuss each step needed to create a basic cluster. In order to get a better idea of the behavior for a queue in a cluster, it is best to review the behavior of queue managers and objects that are not in the cluster. This will give us a baseline. Then we'll be exploring the behavior of put and get in a queue for non-clustered queue and then for a clustered queue. Then I'll review a similar scenarios for the topics, and we'll be exploring the behavior of publish-subscribe for non-clustered topics and then clustered topics. Next page, please. Slide 3, scope and audience. Again, the scope for this presentation is very narrow. It is very practical, and the audience is for beginners, and I am minimizing references to intermediate and advanced features. My intention is to provide you with a step-by-step instructions for the setup of a small cluster. Actually, the steps are the same regardless of the size of the cluster, but if you follow the steps on this presentation, you will have a fully functional cluster that has a small number of members, and you can explore the function of clusters. My objective, too, is to provide concrete examples of doing a put and a get on a cluster queue and doing a publish and subscribe on a clustered topic. Hopefully, by studying the examples, you may have a better understanding of the basic capabilities of a cluster. Next page, please. Page 4, previous WSTEs. Let's start with a basic definition of a cluster. I apologize that I did not include a definition in this presentation because my original plan was to simply point you to very good references that explain in detail what an MQ cluster is, how and when to use it, etc. However, some of you may want a quick introduction, and the following is a short definition for the benefit of those who are totally new to MQ clustering. It is a flexible approach to join queue managers together. A cluster allows multiple instances of the same service, such as queue, to be hosted through multiple queue managers. Applications requesting a particular service can connect to any queue manager within the queue manager cluster. When applications make requests for the service, the queue manager to which they are connected automatically workload balances these requests across all available queue managers that host that instance of that service. Okay, that's the end of the definition. And my goal is at the end of this presentation that once you see the scenarios, you will have a better practical knowledge of the basic functions of a cluster. And now let's go back to the contents of this slide. And these are very good WSTEs that have been presented before, and you can visit these sites in order to download the PDF file with the presentation and the MP3 audio file. For example, the one in this page 4, the level of difficulty is intermediate. Then some of the basic concepts are explained just very quickly and goes very deeply fast into intermediate and advanced topics. Next page, please. Page 5, there are two more WSTEs that cover different aspects of clustering And yes, there is some overlap between all these WSTEs, but the presentation that I'm giving today is really basic, and hopefully it will give you a very good idea of what a cluster is. Next page, please. Page number 6. I have prepared a very comprehensive tutorial that shows every step for the setup of a cluster, including the creation of the queue managers and the addition of the remote queue managers to the MQ Explorer. Then this tutorial explores in detail the handling of a queue before it is added to the cluster and after it is made a cluster queue. The tutorial includes the screen captures of the steps in MQ Explorer, and it shows all the line commands to be used with the MQ administrative command called run MQSC. And the TechNoc shows how to create a cluster that has 2 full repositories and 3 partial repositories located in 3 different hosts with different versions of MQ, 7.0, 7.1, and 7.5. I did not include MQ version 6 because version 6 is now out of support, but if you still have MQ version 6 queue managers, you can add them to this cluster. However, do not use these version 6 queue managers as full repositories, because there were new attributes related to clustering that were added in version 7, and those attributes will be ignored in your cluster, and you cannot exploit them if you are using version 6 full repositories. Next page, please. Page 7. Now that the introduction is over, let's start with the practical step. It is easier to set up a new cluster and to add members to the clusters by using the wizard provided by the MQ Explorer. You can also use the administrative interface that uses like commands, which is called run MQSC. Note that you can combine the usage of the MQ Explorer and run MQSC to create and maintain the cluster. There is no particular way, sequence. The actual data for the cluster is agnostic of what is the interface that is used. You can use at one time the MQ Explorer, you can use run MQC, you can use again MQ Explorer, it doesn't matter. And if your cluster is going to be large with many members, it could be cumbersome and time consuming to add all partial repositories with the MQ Explorer. And you could create a cluster and add few members to the cluster via the MQ Explorer, and then you could use batch files of commands that can be fed to the run MQSC of each queue manager to be added as a member. Okay? Let's go to next page, please. Page number 8. Notice that the format of this particular slide is different, and I will be using this type of slide throughout the presentation. It has notes and has more text than other slides, and you can see also that the font is smaller. In some cases, I will cover in detail the text in these slides, but in some cases, I will skip the text, and you can review the text at your convenience. This slide is the first of 3 slides that have the summary of the steps to take to create a small cluster and to add queues and topics to the cluster. If you look at our information center, all these steps are there. Unfortunately, you have to navigate through different pages and going back and forth and so on, and it could be a little bit confusing for beginners. That's the reason, based on the recommendations of other teammates, I wanted to put as soon as possible in this presentation the summary of all the steps that you can use in run MQSC to create a cluster. Okay? Let's just go to the step number 1. Decide on the organization of the cluster and its name. Okay, in this example, I will use 3 hosts. There will be a total of 5 queue managers in the cluster. Each host has a different version of MQ. Some will be at 7.0, others 7.1, others at 7.5. The idea is to show you that you can mix platforms and versions of MQ in a cluster. Step number 2, decide which queue managers are to hold full repositories. Hey, wait a second, what is a full repository? Well, a full repository is a queue manager that will know the full details of all the items in the cluster, all the queue managers, all the channels, all the queues, and all the topics. That's a full repository. In contrast, a partial repository is a queue manager that will have only a portion of the cluster data. In the case of cluster queues, it is on a need-to-know basis. That is, if you have 100 cluster queues, but if a particular partial repository needs to deal only with two queues, then that partial repository will know only two queues. It will not know the other 98 because it doesn't need to use them. In contrast, in the case of cluster topics, every partial repository will know all the cluster topics, and this has some performance implications that I will mention briefly later on in the presentation. Continuing with the step two is a cluster must have at least one full repository. Somebody needs to know all the details of the cluster, okay? However, what happens if that full repository is not available? The machine crashes or something. Well, the other queue managers still can work. However, there will be no further maintenance. If you want to add a new partial repository, well, there is no full repository to be around. What happens if you want to add a new cluster queue or modify a cluster queue or delete a cluster queue? Well, you cannot do that. Then for that reason, you need to have a full repository up and running all the time in order to have the proper maintenance of the cluster. However, because a single full repository could be a single point of failure, it is best practice to have two full repositories, and they should be running in different hosts, and they should be running at the latest level of MQ. Okay? Why? Well, because if both repositories are running on the same host, and if there is a problem with that single host, then both full repositories will not be available. And again, there will be a single point of failure. That's the reason you need to have two full repositories in two different machines. And it is best to have it at the latest version of MQ. Why? Because the clustering code in MQ is complex. It's really complex. And unfortunately, yes, we have 8 parts in mostly all the fix packs related to clustering. Then if you are running your full repository with that old version, without any maintenance of MQ, you may be encountering problems that have been fixed in recent fix packs, okay? Now, question, if having two full repositories is a best practice, well, probably will be better to have a third and fourth full repository. No. This is a case of diminishing returns. It is not recommended. It is really an overkill. Why? Because there is a lot of constant exchange of information. They are really chatty between the two full repositories. They are synchronizing and mirroring data all the time, and this consumes considerable network and system resources. A full repository could be used to service requests from applications. It means that it could be like another partial repository. However, a best practice is for large clusters or for clusters that are very active, it's recommended that a full repository should not serve applications, and instead it should be dedicated only for clustering activities. In addition, for a very large clusters or very busy clusters, it is best to put the full repository in a very powerful machine. Okay, for this presentation, there will be one full repository in host 1, which is in Windows, and another in host 2, which is in Linux. The third host will be an AIX box, and there will be one partial repository in each of the hosts. Okay, next page. Let's keep in page 8. I'm talking a lot in this page. Step number 3 in this page. You have to alter the queue manager definitions to add definitions for the full repository. By adding a value to the repos attribute, you are assigning the queue manager to a full repository, to be a full repository, okay? For example, alter queue manager repos cluster name. In this case, we'll be using cluster 1, easy, okay? That makes it a full repository in the cluster. Notice that if a queue manager in a cluster has a null or empty value for repos, that means that it is a partial repository. It is tempting to incorrectly think that the above alter command is enough to add a queue manager to the cluster. And thus, if you issue that command on 10 different queue managers that you intended to be partial repositories, then you effectively are adding 10 full repositories. Sometimes we see this problem. Step number 4. Define the listeners that accept network requests from other queue managers. The following command defines a listener that runs in the port 1414, which is the default. The value of QManager for the attribute control indicates that the listener starts when the QManager starts and ends when the QManager ends, which avoids manual intervention to start and stop the listener during normal mode of operation. The exception is when you define the listener, because this initial action does not automatically start the listener, and that's the reason you will see underneath the define listener, you need to start the listener. Step number five, you need to define a cluster receiver channel for the queue managers with a connection name that points to itself. Huh? I think it would be better if we see a concrete example later on, okay? Again, a cluster receiver channel points to itself. That's the main thing. Step number six. Okay. Oh, one more thing. Sorry, here in step number five. Because this presentation is targeted for beginners, I want to point out things that might be new to some of you. For example, if you are new to using RunMQSC, please notice that you need to enter the entire set of attributes for a command in RunMQSC in one single line. However, if the line is too long, you can split it by using a plus character as the last character in the first line. Then you can continue in the next line. For example, after the attribute CL channel type in the first line, I use the plus character, and then I continue with con name in the next line. Step number six. Define the correspondent cluster sender channel on the queue managers. The channel name must match that of the cluster receiver of a full repository. Again, the value of the connection name is a very common source of confusion, and hopefully the real example will make it clear. If you follow the steps in this page, you will have one full repository in the cluster. Okay, let's repeat now steps 3 to 6 to add a second full repository, which will be running in another host, and then our cluster will have two members, and both of them are full repositories. Okay, I'll explain this more in detail, but I just wanted to give you the overview. And now let's go to page number 9, please. And now this is a summary of the steps for adding a partial repository. First, note that we do not have to use the alter command to add a partial repository to the cluster. The alter command is only for designating a queue manager as a full repository. Okay, to add a partial repository, we need to define two cluster channels. And these commands need to be executed on the queue manager to be added to the cluster. Then if you have 100 queue managers, you have to do these two commands 100 times, one for each cluster queue manager, and you will have to invoke RunMQSC for that queue manager. It means that you cannot do it everything from one queue manager respect to that all the other queue managers will know it. Unfortunately, no. You have to do it manually on each one of them. Again, real examples will clarify the usage. We'll be doing this three times for a total of 5 queue managers in our cluster. Okay, next page, please. Page number 10. This is a summary of the steps for adding a cluster queue. And here, other queue managers in the cluster can send messages to this cluster queue without making the remote queue definitions for it. I will explain that a little bit later. Only the local queue manager can read messages from an instance of the cluster queue. Again, I'll explain that later. Then here, if you have two choices. You can just say define queue local, name of the queue. You have created a non-cluster queue. And then you can do alter queue local and then cluster name to add it to the queue. Again, we'll cover that in further slides. Or if you know that you want this cluster right away to be a cluster queue, you can just do define queue local and with cluster attribute. And similarly for the topics, you will have define topic, and then you have to provide the topic string for the topic, and then the cluster name. Again, you can use the alter topic with the cluster attribute. Let's go to the next page, please. Page 11. I found that it is very useful to use concrete examples of the MQ commands, because sometimes the generic format of the command may not answer all the questions from customers, and especially for newbies, you say, well, is this connection name my name or the other's name? It could be confusing. Okay, and I will be using very specific queue managers and queues, and the next page will show you the queue managers and the platforms and versions. Let's go to page 12, please. Okay, this is the list of the 5 queue managers that I'll be using. I'll be using Windows, Linux, and AIX, and version 7.0, 7.1, and 7.5. As we mentioned, it is best practice to have the full repositories running at the highest, newest version and fix pack. In this case, it's 7.5.0.1. Then I'll have two repositories, these two repositories, one in Windows host, that will be full repository number one. It will be located in a Windows host. The port is 1414, and it's using 7.5.0.1. The host name is Angelito. By the way, that's my name is Angel in Spanish. Angelito means little angel. That's why my mother still calls me. And the second queue, the third item in the list is the second full repository. It's in a Linux host, and it is port 1443. And the version, again, is 5.7.0.1. And the host name is Veracruz. Veracruz is the state in Mexico in which I was born. And, by the way, there is a seaport in that state called Veracruz, which is the oldest city founded by the Spaniards in the American continent in 1521, long time ago. Okay, the other three queue managers will be partial repositories, and queue manager partial one will be in the Windows host, the same host, but using NQ 70110, and wait a second. We have a single Windows host that has two versions of MQ. Yes, we have a new feature added in 7.1 in which we can have two or three or more different versions of MQ, or the same version but different fix packs, okay? Then in this case, in the Windows host, I have actually three versions of MQ, 7.0, 7.1, and 7.5, but I decided to use only two, 7.0 and 7.5. The same thing with the Linux host. I have three versions of MQ, and that will be the location for the second repository, a partial repository. And then finally, at the bottom, we'll have a third partial repository that will be in an AIX host in which I have a different version of MQ. And again, a port number that is different. I could have used port 1414 for one of the repositories in each host, and that would be fine. And that's fine. However, for this presentation, I wanted to use different port numbers. In that way, when we prepare the connection name, you will see exactly the difference. Otherwise, if you see two connection names, the port 1414, and it could add a layer of confusion, and I wanted to remove those layers. Okay? Let's go to page number 13, please. This is a topology before adding the queue managers to the clusters. Notice that we don't have any channels between them. They are totally standalone. They are not connected. Okay? Then let's go to the next page, please. Page 14. Okay. Now, let's create a cluster with two full repositories. You will need, again, at least one full repository. Best practice is to have two, and we'll have two for this presentation. And, again, just one more time. Each full repository must run on the latest version of NQ. They should run on the latest version, in the sense that don't try to use an old version. Again, there are many reasons for using the latest version. Okay, let's go to page 15, please. Page 15. Now, let's start with NQ Explorer to create a cluster. We'll use NQFR1 as full repository 1 and NQMFR2 as the full repository 2. I found that it is let's use the MQ, the wizard of the MQ Explorer, and it is very convenient. First, you add in the navigation panel, that is the left panel of the MQ Explorer, all the desired queue managers. One of them will be local, for example, and the others will be remote queue managers. That will really help you. However, if you have a huge cluster with thousands of queue managers, you may encounter performance problems with MQ Explorer if you try to add all of them. I think that the recent fix pack has addressed some of those performances, but you could see some delays in the handling. Anyway, let's continue. After you have added the queue managers to the MQ Explorer, then you click on the queue manager clusters. It's a folder at the bottom of the navigation panel. Then right-click and new, and then queue manager cluster, and the following is in the next slide. And let's go to page 16, please. Okay, you will see a dialog that is called create cluster, and then enter the name of the cluster. In this case, is cluster 1. Let's go to page 17, please. Then you have to the next step in the wizard is to select the first full repository. I mean, you will see the list of all the 5 queue managers that I have added to the MQ Explorer for this exercise. I select QNFR1 for full repository 1. And then let's go to page 18. I'll select the second full repository queue manager, and as you can see, it's highlighted in white at the bottom of the on the left side of the feature. And in the list of queue managers, you don't see QMFR1 because it's already selected. Then every time you select a queue manager, that list gets smaller and smaller. Then let's go to the next page, please, number 19. And now you have to enter the cluster receiver channel for the first full repository. And in this case, let's take a look at this. The best practice for naming cluster channels is to use the word to dot QM and the name of the queue manager. It kind of gives you a direction, okay? It is going to or is coming to, okay? It's a very good practice. It really helps when you are looking at the names of channels and so on. When you are saying display channels all and so on, it's easier to see, oh, these are kind of direction kind of channels. And then you have to provide the name of the queue manager of the connection name list, which is the host name is Angelito and the port is 14141. Next page, please. And now we have to add this cluster receiver channel for the second full repository, and in this case is 2.qmfr2. And notice that the connection name is the Coast Veracruz, and the port is 1443. And if you see in the left side of the feature, you see that the black arrow pointing upwards was the channel that we defined in page 19, and now you see this arrow, white arrow pointing downwards, which is the latest receiver channel. Let's go to page 21, please. And now you will see that after adding those two full repositories, now you have a cluster. And then if you go at the bottom of the navigation panel on the left side and click on the folder Queue Manager Clusters, you will see the cluster 1 cluster. And then you will see 2 folders, one for full repositories and the other for partial ones. By expanding the full repositories, you will see that there are 2, and they are shown now on the right side. And you can do further exploration on them. Okay, let's go to page 22, and let's see how part of the topology looks like. Then what we have is, in the left side, we have host 1, and the right side, we have host 2. In the left side, we have one full repository and the other full repository. Now, for some people, the topic of the theme of having cluster receivers and cluster senders and using the same name could be a little bit confusing. And what I would like to ask you is to visualize that the following. The full repository on Angelito on the left side is QMFR1. Okay? It will have a receiver channel that is 2.QMFR1. It visualizes that it's like a hand extending out of the queue manager, and the hand In the palm of the hand, there is a label that says 2.QMFR1, okay? And this hand will only grab another hand coming from another queue manager that has the same label. Both hands must have the same label in order to attach and do the handshake, okay? Then let's suppose that there is a hand that is trying, that is called just channel one, and it says, uh-oh. The hand on the left side says, I am waiting for 2.QManagerFR1. And the other says just channel one. They don't match. There is no connection. But if from the full repository on the right side of the picture, QMFR2, the full number two, if there is another hand reaching out that is has the label also, it's called now a sender channel, is called, the label is 2.QMFR1, then the both labels are the same, and now imagine that those two hands are touching, and now they can clasp themselves, and they can do the full handshake. That will be the connection between the full repository on the right, full number two, to number one. Now, let's do the vice versa, because these channels are directional in nature. Then we have to have the corresponding sender channel that comes out of the left side. It's a sender channel that says 2.QMFR2 that has to do a handshake with the receiver channel that is coming out from the full repository. Okay, hopefully those images of hands grabbing each other using the same label, hopefully that will help to explain some of the things that you will see in the channels. Let's go to page 23, please. Okay. Now, in order to use the LAN commands, very specific, and this is what we are going to do. The generic way is just to say alter queue manager, and we have to modify the repos attribute. And again, this command is only for full repositories. And the concrete examples are, first, we have to log in to host Angelito, which is the Windows where host, that's where Full One is running. Then we have to do run MQC, QMFR1, and we do the alter queue manager repos cluster one. For the second command, it is not in the same host, it's in a different host. Okay, then you have to log into the Linux box and issue the same command but for a different queue manager in order to make it a full repository. Let's go to page 24, please. Okay. Then the previous page in 23, we altered the queue managers to designate them as full repositories. Now, what we need to do is create the cluster receiver channel objects, okay? And here, I'm going to do it in two windows again. The first one is we have to log in to the Windows machine where the full number one is located. And because it resides in the host Angelito, the con name, the connection name, the last attribute, the second line, it needs to point to Angelito, okay? This is a little bit confusing for some sometimes. Then we have to say define channel to QMFR1. The channel type is a cluster receiver, plus sign. Remember, it's just, hey, the continuation is in the next line. Con name, Angelito port 1414, it's pointed to itself, and it's in cluster one. Okay. Now, for the other command at the bottom, we have to log into the Linux machine and to say run MQC QMFR2, again, resides in a different host. And what we have to have is in the con name, we have to have the Linux box and the port number of that queue manager in that box, which is 1443. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 25. We have created the cluster receiver channels. Now we have to do the cluster sender channels. We'll do the same thing. But here is a variation. Here's a difference, okay? When we do the con name, okay, from the QMFR1, the full repository one, this resides in host Angelito. However, the con name needs to point to the other host, that is Veracruz, okay? Then the con name is Veracruz at port 1443. similarly with the last command at the bottom. This queue manager, FR2, resides in the host Veracruz, needs to point to the Windows box, which is Angelito. Okay, let's go to page 26. And after doing that, okay, you will have the full the queue manager, sorry, the cluster with two full repositories. Now, let's look at the MQ Explorer to add partial repositories. And what we need to do is you go into the cluster object in the MQ Explorer, right-click, and you will see Add Queue Manager to Cluster. And let's go to page 27, please. And then you select the Queue Manager to add to the cluster. The wizard will show the list of the queue managers that have not been added to the cluster. In this case, we are going to select the partial one. Click Next, and we have to specify that once that we want it to be a partial repository, which, by the way, is the default in here. Then let's go to page 28. And what we need to do is define the cluster receiver channel. Remember, that's the connection name that points to itself. Same queue manager name and port. QMPR1 is the partial one is located in host Angelito, and the port number is 1442, and that's what we put there in connection name. Let's go to the next page, please, 29. Now we define the cluster sender channel, and step 4 is to connect to a full repository. In this case, I want to connect to QMFR2. Why? Because it is located in another box, and I wanted to help reduce confusion with the commands, okay? And we'll see that in the next page. And step number 5 is to define the cluster sender channel, okay, to QMFR2. And then remember that the connection name points to a full repository. Therefore, the QMPR1 is located in host Angelito, FR2, the full repository, is located in host Veracruz. Therefore, the connection name needs to point to Veracruz. Probably, if you look at the charts, it will explain better, especially with the names of the host and the port numbers. Let's go to page number 30, please. And after we add the repository, we can expand the folder in the Queue Manager Clusters folder. And we'll see now that we have a partial repository, QMPR1. Okay. And let's go to page 31, please. Okay. After a new partial repository is connected to a full repository, we have connected only to one, okay? In this case, it's a full number 2 in the Linux box. This full repository will communicate the information on the other to the other full repository, QMFR1, in the Windows box. And even though we have defined explicitly only connections between the new partial one to the full repository 2, we did not define any explicit connections between the new partial and the other full repository, which is number 1. But this is the advantage of the MQ cluster. There will be auto-defined or auto-explicit cluster-centered channels to connect the new partial to the other full repository. This doesn't happen instantaneously, like in a second. Rather, it may take from a few seconds to a few minutes to propagate, depending on the activity of the full repositories and the network traffic. But the partial repository will eventually be connected to both full repositories. Now let's take a look at the topology in page 32. What do we have at this point? Okay, hopefully this picture will illustrate that we have on the left side, on the host Angelito, we have two queue managers. One is full, and the other is a partial. That partial is connected to the full in this host and to the full in the other host. We can see also that in host number 2, we have two queue managers, one full repository that is connected to the other full and the partial on the other host, but we have a lonely and sad partial repository. Well, actually, it's not a partial yet. It has not been added. It's just a queue manager that we want to add it as a partial. It is not connected to anyone yet. Okay, let's go to page number 33, please. Okay, now we use the MQ Explorer to add a partial. Let's use now the line commands to add the partial. And this is what I think having the different host name and the different port could help you to better understand what are the values that we need to put in the connection name, which is really the tricky part. Okay, then we have to first, again, there are two commands that we need to issue. First, we need to define a cluster receiver, and then we need to define a cluster sender, and these are the commands. Let's go to page 34, please. And now let's repeat the steps in page 33 to add the third partial repository. After that, this is what it looks like. We see that each full repository is fully connected to all the other queue managers in the cluster. Okay. However, the partials are only connected at this point to only the full repositories. As you can see, I want to make very clear this. At this moment, there is no connection between the partial node 1 and 2, or 2 and 3, or 1 and 3. There are no connections yet. We'll see the benefit later on of using the cluster. Let's go to page 35, please. In page 35, now let's explore some info about the clusters from the MQ Explorer. It is really fun to explore this area because there are four different tabs on the right side. One is for cluster queues, then the cluster topics, then the other one, the one that is highlighted in this slide, is the cluster sender channels, and the last one is the cluster receiver channels. In this case, also I'm highlighting at the bottom that what is the state of the different channels, and you will see, unfortunately, it's too small in the picture, but it is a tiny green arrow pointing upward for each of the channels shown at the bottom, which indicates that the channels are running. That's the convention MQ Explorer. Green is good, and red, you need to find out why it didn't start. Okay, let's go to page 36. Okay. Now let's try to explore some things. Let's suppose that you are totally new to an existing cluster and you want to explore, hey, I don't have my MQ Explorer, but I would like to see what is the configuration of the cluster. Okay, what you can do is go to one of the full repositories and then use display queue manager repos. And if repos has a value in there, like a cluster one, it means that this is a full repository for cluster one. If it's empty, well, you just know that it's a partial repository. But at this point, if it's a partial, you don't know yet in which cluster it is. How do I find out that? Well, that's what you will need to do the following. The one in the middle, there is a statement called display cluster queue manager. By doing that, you will see more attributes that are specific to the cluster, okay? In particular, you will see that is cluster queue manager is QM full one, belongs to a cluster one. And what is the channel, the connection name, and definition type? Those are three attributes for the cluster, for the channel. That's fine. The next item, two items are important. One is QM type repos, which means that it's full repository. If it says normal, then it's a partial repository. Now, the next one is a little bit tricky and deserves some explanation. I mean, it's kind of intermediate level of explanation, but I'll keep it short. It's called the QMID. It is a value that is assigned that contains the name of the queue manager plus the timestamp when the queue manager was created. Okay? It is a unique identifier, and it helps to differentiate this queue manager from queue managers that might have existed in the past with the same name, but we want to know the difference. Okay, let me give you a scenario. Let's suppose that we have this current cluster. Again, we'll just take a small mental scenario and we'll discard it, okay? Let's suppose that I want to remove QMFR1 from, I want to delete the queue manager. One very common problem, unfortunately, is we have a queue manager in the cluster. We don't want that queue manager anymore. We delete it. That's wrong. That's incorrect. Why? Because the cluster information keeps track of the QMID for that queue manager. Then the cluster thinks that that queue manager is still available, okay? And in this particular case, the timestamp is 22nd of March 2013, okay? But I deleted the queue manager. Gone. Now, I say, oh, I made a mistake. I need to recreate the queue manager. Well, if you create a new queue manager with the same name, you are not technically recreating the same old manager. You are just creating a new queue manager with the old name, okay? But if we do it today, the QMID will be the queue manager name plus 16th of July, 11:50, okay, which is different. Then the cluster will think that there are two queue managers with the same name. However, different QMIDs, there are two different queue managers. And that causes a lot of confusion. Then to avoid that confusion, please, if you don't want the queue manager and you want to delete it, please make sure that you remove it from any clusters, and then you are free to delete it. Okay? You will save yourself a lot of aggravation. Okay, let's go to page 37, please. Okay. Now, you can display the cluster sender and cluster receiver channels by using these commands. Display channel, channel type, and cluster, and con name, and you will get all the information for the channels. Let's get to page 38, please. And now you can use, let's explore a specific details for a partial repository. When we say display queue manager repos, wow, we see that repos is empty. Yes, this is not a full repository. To find out the cluster to which the queue manager belongs to, it is necessary to use the following command. Notice the attribute value pair of cluster 1. You have to use cluster queue manager, okay? And the QM type, notice that is highlighted in bold and underscore is normal, which means that it's a partial repository. Let's go to the next page, please, page 39. Now, let's now explore the scenarios with queues. It is important to understand that local queues defined in one queue manager are not made visible to the other members of the cluster. Just because a queue is defined a queue manager in the cluster doesn't make it that queue a cluster queue. You need to take a further action, okay? Now, let's explore what happens when we are using local queues that are not clustered. First, we define the local queue, and let's go to page 40, please. And what is the behavior? This slide, the next one, page 41, we'll stay on page 40 for a moment, we'll show you a graphical representation of the four scenarios here. The first scenario is the application, such as a sample called MQS PutC, that is a sample shipped with MQ that puts a message, can put a message to the local queue, CQ1, for example, when it's connected to the queue manager where the queue is local. Okay? That's successful, and we'll show you in a moment. The second scenario is we'll do the corresponding GET, and that will be successful. Now, the next two scenarios will fail because we are going to do the PUT and GET from another host. Okay? And the other hosts will not know the existence of CQ1 because we have not defined it there. Okay, let's go to page 41, and we'll see a graphical representation of what we are trying to accomplish. Okay, on the right side, we have the successful scenarios. We can do a put and a get to a local queue. And the second, in the right side, we see the fail scenarios. Why? Because the other queue manager doesn't know the existence of CQ1. Let's go to page 42, please. And these are the commands that we can do for a scenario. And for simplicity, to avoid authority problems, let's log in as the MQ administrator. We'll go into the Windows machine, and We'll create two different command prompts. In one, we need to tell the sample how to connect to the queue manager. One way is to use the NQ server environment variable in which we define a channel and then the connection name. In this case, Angelito 1442. And then we issue the command. We specify NQ sputc and the name of the queue and the name of the queue manager. And as we can see, we can enter a message. The message is sent, and everything is successful, and we end. Now we go into the other command prompt, and we do the corresponding thing to do the get, and we get the message. Then those are the two local scenarios. That's fine. No problem. Now, if you want to know more about the NQ server and have to use the NQS putc and NQS getc samples, you can see these fabulous WSTEs. I present them. And one is TechNode 703-8186, which is exploiting the automatic client reconnect feature in WebSphere NQ7. And the other is TechNode 702-1403, a day in the life of a WebSphere MQ transmission queue. Okay? Okay, let's go to the next page, please. Page 43. And now we are going to go to the to try to simulate the problems that will happen in the other host. Okay, what we are doing is again the local queue is not in queue in the partial two; it's in partial one. But we define the MQ server to partial two. Okay, and when we try to do the MQS putc or MQS getc, we'll get a recent code of 2085. And you can use the utility shipped with MQ called MQRC and given the recent code in order to see what is the short name for that recent code, like MQRC, unknown object name. It's kind of self-explanatory, more or less, which means, A, the queue manager is telling the application, I do not know the name of this thing. I don't know. Then let's go to page 44, please. Okay. Now, let's suppose that you may ask, well, at this time, I wanted to I want to connect to Queue Manager 2 in the second host, in the Linux host on the right side, in order to put a message. You have three options, okay? One is you can do the MQ server, two options. One is you can create a remote queue definition for CQ1 and a corresponding transmission queue that is added in partial 2. Then the application will connect to partial 2 in the Linux host, and the message will be transmitted to the remote queue manager in partial 1. Again, this is clearly explained in the tech note about a day in the life of the transmission queue. And the other choice is to make the queue a cluster queue, which is what we are trying to drive. But I wanted to see show you what is the behavior of a cluster of a non-cluster queue. Let's go to page 44. Now, in order to make that queue visible to the cluster, we have to alter it, and I specify the attribute cluster. Now, you can do a remote put on the cluster queue. However, you cannot do a remote get from a cluster queue. This is a very common asked question. The get can only be done from the local queue. You cannot do get from a remote queue. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please, page 45. Once we add it to the queue, once we specify that in partial 1, we specify that the queue is going to be clustered. Now let's go to partial 2, and we do a display queue local, CQ1 and cluster, and it says object not found. Hey, I just added to the cluster. Well, we are using the command called display queue local, and it is not a queue local. What we need to do, well, it's a cluster queue. Then we have to say display queue cluster. And by doing that, notice that there will be a result, and notice that we have two things. One is the cluster queue manager is telling you where this queue is located, really, in partial one. And what type of cluster queue is that? It's a queue local in queue manager partial one. That's the meaning of that output. Let's go to page 46, please. Page 46. And what is the expected behavior of puts and gets for cluster queues? Well, of the four scenarios, the third one, remember that it failed. Now it will work. The last one still will fail because, again, we can do a get only from a local queue. Let's go to the next page, please, 47. Again, this is just a graphical representation, and hopefully it will give us an idea. Let's go to page 48. And this is, I think, the fun part over here. Okay. Let's do the testing of the local here. My apologies. I found a typo. The title of this page should say testing of local queue clustered. I made a modification in the latest PDF file that will publish very soon. Okay. A local put, Now that the queue manager was added to the cluster, let's repeat the scenario. First, we log into the Linux host. Notice that the queue is not defined in partial two, but it is a cluster queue and is defined in partial one. What we are doing now is we try to put, and it is successful put. Well, what happened? Well, this is what happened underneath. The queue manager has a cluster queue that points to the queue manager partial one, where there is a local queue there, okay? When the put application connects to partial two in the Linux machine and issues an MQ open for the queue, this is what happens at a high-level view. The partial two queue manager checks its list of local queues and determines that the queue is not in that list. If it was not in the cluster, it will terminate and it says, hey, return code, object not found. But partial two is part of a cluster and says, well, let me check. I don't have a record of cluster queues. Let me check with the full repository. Then the partial two will check with a full repository. It doesn't matter which one of the two, and ask if the queue is a cluster queue. In this case, it is affirmative. The full repository will tell partial two, yes, that queue, it is a cluster queue, and it is a local queue that resides in partial one. Okay? And in addition, the full repository passes to the partial two, what is the cluster receiver channel that the partial one uses? It is, in this case, 2.qm_pr1. With this information, the MQ cluster code in partial 2 will automatically create a cluster-centered channel called 2.qmpr1, and then once it's created, it will try to connect, remember the handshake, and then it will establish a connection. After the connection is established, then partial 2 will send the message that was received by the put-in application. This is one of the advantages of the MQ clustering code for the handling of queues. The appropriate auto-defined clusters and the channels will be created on demand between participating partial repositories. Let's go to page 49. Okay, because the new channel 2.qm_pr1 was created automatically in qmpr2, you will not be able to see the information for this channel using the following command, display channel 2qmpr1, it says not found. What you need to do is use the channel status command. In that way, you will see that is the information and that is running, okay? Page 50, please. This is the topology after creating the auto-created cluster sender-receiver channel, okay? As you can see, remember, the previous view of the topology, that there was no connectivity between the partials. Now, automatically, the channels were connected. Again, this is a nice thing about the cluster. We didn't have to do anything. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please, page 51. And this is a little bit intermediate knowledge for you guys. What happens, you may hear a lot about the system cluster transmit queue. And this is the rule. Anything that is transmitted between cluster members is done through the system cluster transmit queue. I'm trying to keep it just very basic. Then let's go to the right side. The application is doing a put. It goes into the definition of a cluster queue, and it says, hey, the queue is really in partial one in the other host. Then it sends it. The message is really sent to the system cluster transmit queue, which goes to the message called the MQ channel agent. Then it goes through the channel, going to the left side. It arrives to the left side to the partial one, and then it's put into the local CQ one. That's the process, okay? Let's go to page 52, please. Now, this is the view that I wanted to show you that right now, just because we went to partial two to put a message in the cluster queue, now we have a connectivity with partial one. Partial three is not connected at this point, okay? Now it is a good time to stop and think about it and think what we have done. At this point, we have done a lot of preparation work to define a cluster with two full repositories and three partials and one cluster queue. Is it worth it? Okay, I want you to think about this. Well, if you're going to have a small cluster with just one cluster queue, maybe two, and your cluster is going to be not too active, this is a lot of work, guys. Maybe clustering is not the right thing for you, okay? However, in some cases, an MQ is important in order to realize the benefit of something, you really need to scale it, okay? And what I would like for you is to visualize that what happens in case of, if we had, instead of just three partials, let's suppose that we have 100 partials, okay? Then we have to define a pair of channels for each one of those 100 partials. Then we have to make 200 definitions of channels, okay? Now, but that's it. We don't have to do any more channel definitions. Then let's suppose that each one of those queue managers is going to put a message to a cluster queue that is in partial one, okay? Every time that the queue manager tries to put it, a new pair of channels will be created automatically by the MQ clustering code in order to connect to the partial number one. Then we are saving a lot of administrative work in order to connect to that partial one. We don't have to define individually remote queue definitions and transmission queues and so on. Everything is already defined for us. Then in the long term, we save a lot of effort for medium-sized and large-sized clusters. Also, there is another benefit, that is workload balancing, and I don't want to really cover that. It's an intermediate subject, but it will be is something that can be exploited with the clustering. Let's go to page 53, and I'm a little bit late here, and then I'll go a little bit faster. Sorry. Now, the following is important. So far, in our examples, we were an MQ administrator that is not challenged by authority blockages, but most of the time, in order to do just puts and gets, we are not going to be MQ administrators. We'll be non-MQ administrators. Therefore, we'll need to do something else. Otherwise, we'll get a 2035, which is not authorized. If we want to do it, then let's go to page number 54, please. There are some certain authorities that you need to do. The first one is we need to give authority to the application, to the user that runs the application, to connect to the queue manager. And we need to give really connect, inquire, and display. It is mentioned in the first set MQ out command. Now, and then we have three choices. We can give the authority to put messages to the system cluster transmit queue, which is option A over here, or we can put the local authority for the cluster queue CQ1, which is option B, and option C is new in 7.1, and I just made a reference there. Let's go to page 55, please. Okay. Now, let's quickly go to topics. I have created a similar tutorial. It's self-contained, and it is mentioned in this slide. Let's go to page 56, please. In order to create a topic, we just go, this is non-clustered, and we go to the topic and the new and topic, and then let's go to page 57. And we create the topic. Again, it's non-clustered, and these are the four scenarios we cover. Again, the first two will work. The next two will fail. Okay, let's go to page 58, please. Sorry that I'm rushing a little bit over here. And that's just the graphical representation. And let's go to page number 59. And these are the commands that we can use in order to do a publish and then doing a subscribe. And this will show you that it will work when it's local to the system. And page 60, please. Okay, now, when using topics, if you can define an on-the-fly topic in a queue manager, and it will be part of what is called the topic space. And in this case, this is a very subtle situation. We created a topic in parcel one. It's not clustered. We go to parcel two, and we try to publish to the topic, and it works. And you say, wait a second. I couldn't do that with the queue. Why is it working here? Well, what happens is in partial two, an on-the-fly topic is created. It's called a local topic, which is not the same as the topic in partial one in the other queue manager. And it's very subtle. Then I will suggest for you to read this slide at your convenience, and let's go to page 61. Then, In this page, well, the same thing happens with topics when you want to use non-administrators to publish and subscribe. First, you need to be allow the user to connect, inquire, and display to the queue manager. And then if you want to be able to subscribe, then you have to add permissions to the topic to do the plus sub and plus resume. That's an important one if you are using something called resumable durable subscriptions, okay? And then the last command, it is in case you want to give authority for publishing. If you don't do this, then you will get a 2035 not authorized. Let's go to page 62, please. And page 62, this is how you add a topic to the cluster. You basically just change the cluster attribute to the name of the cluster, and you will have it there. And this is very interesting. Let's go to page 63, please. Here is something interesting, okay? With queues, only the queue managers, the partial ones that needed to interact with the queue will get a copy of the definition of the cluster queue. It is on demand. With topics, they are fanned out. As soon as the topic is added to the cluster, immediately propagation of that definition of the topic is sent all across, okay? And this is, it could have an impact because there could be a lot of activity in the network because everybody now is going to communicate with everybody, and it has some performance implications that is important for you to know. And let's go to page 64, please. And in that page, I'll talk about the performance implication on another slide. Here is just what is the expected behavior of cluster topics. Now, all the activities can be done. We can do publish and subscribe at the bottom. And let's go to the next page, 65, please. And again, just a graphical representation. Let's go to page 66. And this is how we verify the cluster information for a cluster. Instead of just using display topic, we have to say display T cluster for topic cluster. And let's go to the next page. And this is the last one. And I think because of lack of time, sorry for passing over, I would like to return the control of the microphone back to David.
Thank you, Angel, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question is from Rajesh Palad, and your line is open.
I wanted to understand in clustering, with a cluster receiver and cluster sender channel can have the multiple connection information in order to support the multi-instance and the failover.
Yes. Could you send me, please, an email?
Mm-hmm.
My email is in the first page of the presentation.
Okay.
And I can give you more details on
okay.
how you can do that in order to allow to use multi-instance queue managers.
Okay, great. Yep. Thanks.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm showing no questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Angel, for presenting today.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect at this time.